opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Five on. Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got
five. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It's just after what would have been halftime, but we had to continue the Cubs grading system, if you will, as we went through the midterm. So
that was good. That was fun.
I thought it was fun, too. Yeah. That's the voice of Mark Grody, who is in for Layla on this beautiful Friday. And it'll be you and me again on Monday.
Sir.
Can you handle that much?
I don't know, man. I've got the weekend to think about it. I feel a sick day coming on.
You know what? That's good that you have the 2 days to break up the 2 days, if you get my drift on that.
Oh, man. What if I really am sick now? See, now I literally mono? Just put myself in... I've put myself in a position now where I cannot be sick on Monday or I look really bad.
Yeah, because you mentioned it on the air.
Just did it.
That drop will never die. Yeah. Let me just tell you something if we have to do that. But right now, you know what it is. It's time for five on it. The five questions that are on our minds, kind of, sort of, between the four of us. Yeah, let's ride.
Number one. Cubs left-hander Shota Imanaga made his return from a strained left hamstring Thursday and was tasked with facing the division rival Cardinals. The result, Imanaga only allowed one hit in five shutout innings in a 3-0 win over St. Louis. After the game, Imanaga said this via interpreter Edwin Stanberry.
The team was playing really well, so today, you know, it didn't really feel like my first start coming back from rehab. It was just, okay, let's even up the series. So very grateful.
That is Shota Imanaga via his interpreter, Edwin Stanberry. After seeing that performance from Imanaga, where is your confidence level in the Cubs' starting rotation?
It's not quite where it would be if there was a healthy Justin Steele still on the staff, but we know he's not coming back this year. But it is better. It is a kind of a sigh of relief. Like, okay, Shota's back. We know that that was a big issue that they were dealing with, and look at what they've been able to do in his absence. And now that he's back, it should be somewhat of a stabilizing force for the Cubs. But I also say it's not enough. They got to get more help. They need another frontline starter to equal what Shota has been able to do in his time as a Cub, but also probably another pitcher as well, as we know that Cade Horton's not going to be out here putting 170, 180, 200 innings under his belt in this season.
Cade Horton goes tonight, as a matter of fact, so it'll be interesting to watch him. Yeah, the Shota Imanaga, I mean, just reassured people just how important Shota Imanaga has been and will continue to be, assuming that he stays healthy. And five shutout innings yesterday, 77 pitches was a pretty good start towards that. So confidence growing for sure. And look, man, I mean, we just talked about Jameson Taillon. The last two starts for Taillon have not been good enough. And those were both teams that you need to beat to continue to put them away, the Brewers and the Cardinals. So because of that, I'm a little bit like, okay, I mean, that takes away a little bit of confidence, need to get him back on track. Matt Boyd, we talked about him. Guy has done A-plus work this year. Feel really good about him. Obviously, Ben Brown just got sent down. So better, but not where it needs to be for a team that I think we were at the point of talking about winning in the playoffs and not just get, like, how can you build a team to win in the playoffs and not just get there?
I've given you the answer, Mark. It's quite simple. Make Jameson Taillon your number four starter by going out and getting another frontline pitcher to be like Imanaga, fill in the blank.
I'm okay
Matthew
with that.
Boyd.
I want to be really clear again, like on Jameson Taillon. Why I graded him well or better than you did is because I believed in what he did. I looked at it as eight wins that he gave the Cubs. You seemed to lean into the eight losses and the 8-8 record.
No.
And I took very, very seriously those five starts he had previous to two starts ago against Milwaukee. So that's, I want to be clear, like this has not been good. And if Jameson Taillon is your fourth pitcher, fine. I like that too.
I have a question. Let's say we're in the playoffs. Hypothetically, the Cubs are in the playoffs.
Oh, you want the rotation, don't you?
Cade Horton is starting a game. What is your feeling if Cade Horton is starting a playoff game?
I think if he's strong enough to start a playoff game, I actually feel pretty confident about Cade Horton, and I think that's the way I feel about him every time. Pretty and like stressed on the pretty part. Pretty confident when he goes out there, and he is capable of looking bad at times. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, if they deemed him strong enough, I actually would feel pretty good about Cade Horton starting in the playoffs.
Cade Horton has pitched, 41 innings in the bigs this year? And then when you add in what he did in the minor leagues, you got to add, I think, another 30-something innings. 29 innings, sorry. So he's pitched already a total of 70 innings this year. And I just don't know that he can get through the back half of the season making another 15 starts going five innings. Like, if he makes 15 starts and averages five innings, that's 75 more innings. So now you're talking about a guy who never in his career has pitched more than 88 a third inning since he was out of high school.
Yeah. But what if they deem, I don't know, maybe, Robbie, maybe this wasn't the spirit of the question. Maybe he's answering it the way you asked it. But isn't it more of, do you trust this guy as a pitcher to start, or are you adding in the fact that he may be too fatigued to start?
No, I'm adding, like, in a clutch situation where you need a win from a guy who is a rookie,
like, let's say it was right now.
Would you trust Cade Horton right now?
Right, so do you trust that guy to be a big game pitcher for
right now?
Like, let's say they got in a spot where we got to start Cade Horton, like, where you have to seriously consider him. How do you feel about Cade Horton in a big game, I think was the spirit of the question.
My honest answer is I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's like a hope and a prayer.
Yeah.
I hope he's got the good stuff today.
Right, because he's pretty good.
He has good stuff, so I hope he has the good stuff on this day. I hope he has command on this day, which is, I guess, something you would say about any pitcher, but other pitchers have more of a resume that you can look at and say they've done this before.
He's not there yet. He's not. So it would feel 50-50-ish, but I would not be afraid to put Cade Horton. Just from what I've seen out of Cade Horton, I don't think it would be disastrous to put him in a big game in the postseason. All things equal,
I think it would be interesting to see.
It would be.
You know what? If he's in that situation, it would be exciting to watch it.
Yeah.
Number two.
The Cubs split their four-game set against the Cardinals in St. Louis. Next stop, Houston. Pregame 6:35 here on The Score tonight is two out of three. The best the Cubs could hope for against the AL West leading Astros. Or can you envision a series sweep from the Northsiders?
What kind of defeatist question is that?
Yeah, who wrote that one?
That was my defeatist question.
You're saying we haven't played a game yet and you've ruled out a sweep? Like, they can't sweep?
I haven't ruled it out. I want to know where your confidence level is.
I think my confidence level is...
After they split the series against the Cardinals.
Well, you know what? If the first two games were the last two games and the last two games were the first two games of the Cardinals, I might answer this question differently. But it is what it is. Cubs pitching, last time I checked, has thrown 22 scoreless innings of baseball. That's a nice little streak going into the series against the Astros. Now, I know the Astros are very good. They just knocked off the Phillies. They are leading the AL West for a reason. But I think the Cubs can not only win the series, I think they can sweep their series if they bring the bats and bring the arms. Question is, are those arms going to be up to task? Specifically, Colin Ray. and also specifically Sunday in a showdown against
Framber Valdez.
Framber Valdez, yeah. Jameson Taillon.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be a
that's a real challenge.
You're
on
not
Sunday.
Coming here talking about that. You're right. And honestly, I'm with you. I do think it's not out of the question that the Cubs sweep. I mean, look who they go up against tonight. They're going up against Brandon Walter. I think this is maybe his fifth start this year. 0-1 with a 3.80 ERA. I'd have to look more closely. But that's not a threat. Your threat pitching-wise isn't until Sunday. And that definitely, no doubt about it, will be very interesting. Houston's good, though. I mean, they're good, and they're surprisingly... Actually, I shouldn't call them surprising. This is just a damn good franchise, whether we want to admit that or not, considering the franchise's past. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a tough series. But, yeah, the Cubs can sweep.
The Cubs and Astros going in the series with identical 48-33 records. This is a great series. This is why I love that even though you split, even if they had lost the series against the Cardinals, I love that you get to get back up and see, okay, but measure yourself again. These are all measuring stick series between now and the All-Star break. Go measure yourself, see how you stack up against other playoff teams.
Let me ask you this. Do you wish the Cubs were facing Hunter Brown in this series? Like in the name of facing more aces? Or is Framber Valdez enough for you? I kind of would like to have seen him.
Only if also Shota Imanaga was pitching in the series.
Mm.
I like even
you don't like
series.
Yeah.
I wish every series lined up like a playoff series would. On full rest. That's how you know who's really better.
Number three.
And we just graded in the last hour the Cubs roster, every player. If you missed it, you can go to the Odyssey app, hit the little rewind function. We got three juicy segments of grading Cubs players. But let's move on to the White Sox in this question. Oh. Which player on the White Sox roster deserves a mid-season grade of an A?
Man, That's tough.
Mr. White Sox
over there. No, because A is tough. Because it's okay. One thing to say they've had a good season. Because it's hard to look at the White Sox and forget about the 141 losses from a year ago.
Let's do it relative.
Like, no, that's I don't want to do it. I told you, I don't like grading on a curve.
Okay.
Well, also, no player deserves an A is an acceptable answer. Just throwing that out there.
Wait, what?
It is acceptable to say no player on the White Sox roster deserves an A. You don't have to give an A because we asked you to give an A.
You could plead the fifth, basically.
I'm not going to plead the fifth.
Okay.
How about as a follow-up, if you can't name an A-graded player, give us the player with the highest grade and what that grade is.
How about Miguel Vargas? How about that? Because that's been something of a revelation. People thought that the Sox had lost the trade and that this guy was a bust and he wasn't going to blossom. And he has done that and that has made people happy and made people talk about him and made the Sox some days worth talking about.
You have the right answer there, Grody. Like coming into this year, everyone thought Miguel Vargas sucked. And for him to be leading them in basically every... He leads them in batting average, home run, RBIs, OBP, and hits. He leads them in basically every category. It's Miguel Vargas.
The problem is... When you talk about the Sox and Miguel Vargas and his plays third base, OPS plus of 106, but his batting average is .233. And that's why I say it all becomes relative when you talk about the White Sox, because they're so bad that everything is relative. If he had played more games, the easy answer to your question is Mike Tauchman. A very easy answer to your question.
Yeah, where we are.
It's so depressing. It's like truly so depressing.
But hold on.
The actual answer is Mike Tauchman.
Cast away from the Cubs is the best player in the
Sox. Hear me out on this. He's only played 30 games. He's got a .8 war. The slash line is immaculate. Well, not immaculate, but it's very good. .276, .374, .476. Like, how many people on the Sox do you think are slugging over .450? How many players on the Sox do you think are slugging over .450? I'll take a guess from anyone.
I'm looking down the list right now. I see, my God, even Vargas isn't even there.
That's my point.
.422.
I'm guessing zero? Is zero the answer?
No, it's one. Mike Tauchman is the only one slugging over .450.
Benintendi at .445.
So are you giving that A to Mike Tauchman?
No. Oh,
not even an A for Mike Tauchman.
No, not.
So Mike Tauchman is your highest graded White Sox player. Is that an accurate statement?
No.
Well, who is your highest graded White Sox player, and what is the grade for that player?
I'm going to give it to Shane Smith. You know, he's had a couple of rough outings, but he's still you know.
What about the Elk Man?
Tim Elko? Is that?
I just felt like saying the Elk Man.
I'm not gonna
what? No, not
379 slug.
Come on, Elkman.
That's
an Eber. That's an Eberflus nickname.
Tim the Elkman.
He of the 155 batting average.
Stinger, Chalky.
He's the Elkman.
He's batting 155, and he's not even with the.
I know. I just wanted to say Elkman. I'm just going down the roster.
I think
here.
Shane Smith's body of work through 15 starts, the fact that he has a 3.38 ERA, a 3.77 FIP, fielding independent pitching, ERA plus is at 122. I guess it could be Adrian Hauser. He's only started six games though. I can't give. That's like saying Talkman. There's not enough time spent on the.
How about Grant Taylor?
Albatross.
Texter has entered the chat.
At this school, like the district office is coming down, being like, "Why are the grades so bad? Why is everyone failing? Like, the teaching is the issue here."
Your Texter wants to know about a guy who's pitched seven games this season. Grant Taylor?
Yeah. But that's where we are, man. That's, hey, if you could throw around Mike Talkman, could throw around Grant
Taylor.
Around,
I was using him to show just how bad everything else is. So, yeah, Shane Smith's probably my answer.
I want to give an honorable mention to Chase Meidroff because of one reason. Ozzie Guillen comes on with Mullion Haw once a week, and he loves that guy.
I love Chase Meidroff, too.
So just honorable mention.
But your shortstop should be able to get that OPS over 700. That's
number four.
What is the ceiling and floor for the Chicago Bulls this year? The Chicago Bulls.
What are you giggling about over there?
All right, let's start with the floor. The floor is they missed the play-in. The floor is they are in the lottery squarely as a top five lottery team. One of the worst five records in all of basketball. That is the floor.
That floor is a little ceiling-ish in my opinion.
Well, depending on how you look at it, right. It could be ceiling. Yeah.
No, I know you look at it that way.
And then as far as what they could do, if they make the right moves and the development, Modest comes back and is amazing, puts some weight on and is amazing. Kobe White doesn't get moved. They get some help somewhere, somehow, some way. Vooch stays on the roster and has a better season than he had last year. In this Eastern Conference, they could be the sixth seed. But is being the sixth seed worth missing out on another round of generational talent as far as lottery picks go in the 2026 NBA draft? Ask yourself that. But yeah, their ceiling is they could be an actual playoff team with a first round playoff loss.
So no way they win a playoff series.
I cannot envision that with the roster that
fair enough.
I was told by Mark Eversley back in the 10 o'clock hour was coming back.
But he does. He does sound better saying it than Arturis Karnišovas, I'm afraid.
He does. Unfortunately.
There is a more, we talked about this off the mic a little bit, but there's a more empathetic tone that comes out of Mark Eversley, as in he really wants us to know that he understands what fans are going through and what to a different, not as important degree, the media is going through. Like, that's the tone I'm getting from Eversley. So I'm actually okay with the fact that he'll be the spokesperson for the Bulls going forward. I wouldn't mind that so much. He takes time to tell stories to Mullion Haw. So anyway, the question was the floor and the ceiling, right? The floor and the ceiling?
Yeah.
The floor is, I agree with you on the floor. It could be disastrous. It could be a disastrous season where the Bulls end up in the lottery.
Is that disastrous though if they end up in the lottery?
No, I guess not. No. And then as far as their ceiling, God, 4 years in a row.
Oh, Miami?
I was gonna say play-in, but no, I'll say the ceiling is getting into the actual playoffs, but I can't see them winning a playoff series either. No, not over seven games. It ain't happening unless there's augmentation that we don't know about occurring still in this offseason.
Number five.
This week, the Bear came out. The full season came out. Season four, the Bear came out. If you're not familiar with the show, it's based in Chicago. It's about these people making a restaurant in Chicago. It's Bear. A pretty great show. I love it, Bear. But the question is, what is your favorite TV show or movie that is based in Chicago or is about Chicago?
Easy for me. Home Alone.
Okay.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
I loved Home Alone. As a kid, Home Alone brought me so much joy. I saw that thing old school in the theater. You know, you have to get there early, get your popcorn. There were no assigned seats. You had to, you know, family of five. running in there and watching Home Alone, and it was amazing, and it was hilarious. I mean, it was hilarious, and the entire crowd. You remember those movie moments?
Oh, when you had a theater moment.
Yeah,
oh,
when everybody's laughing at the same thing.
Yeah.
My top like three movies were like the crowd experience enveloped me. It's so weird. It's Home Alone.
Yeah.
It's Avengers Endgame, and it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wow.
Those are the rowdiest, most raucous crowds I've ever been to a movie to see.
That's awesome. I love those moments. I'd have to think back to my specific ones in regards to that. That's a separate category, but I love that. I'm getting that feeling right now from you. I would say my favorite, I would be way off brand if I didn't say The Fugitive. The Fugitive with Harrison Ford.
You switch the samples.
So you can make Provasic is just a beauty of a Chicago movie, and the setting and the beauty and just the having Chicago as the setting. There is nothing better than The Fugitive. And I suppose if I was to give honorable mention, I'd probably go a Ferris Bueller's
that's
Day
the
Off.
Answer. Yeah, that is the answer.
Pretty
right
good one. Sorry to take your answer, Robbie.
I like Ferris Bueller's, but I don't like it as much as I like.
That's okay. You know, Home Alone is a movie that never hit me the way it hit seemingly most everybody else. But
I was like, I could be this guy doing all this stuff.
I know people love the movie, so I will not yuck your yum.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'll co-sign. Yeah. I do love the bear. I'll co-sign Ferris Bueller's Day Off because of all the sights you see of Chicago in it. So love it.
Also, yeah. The Dark Knight, shot in Chicago as well. I love seeing that everywhere.
But it doesn't take place in Chicago. It takes place in Gotham.
I know. That's right. But you can see the Chicago-ness. I mean, Lower Wacker. Come on now.
All right. Coming up next, we continue to talk about the Cubs. We have Jeff Blum, the Astros analyst for Space City Home Network. He'll have the call on the Houston side of things, of course. Also, getting ready to celebrate the 20-year anniversary of the 2005 World Series champion White Sox. That's right. Clap away. More Raheemy and Harris, Mark Grody, and for Layla on 670 The School.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Four. Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris, Raheemy and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Coming back with more baseball talk as we have a special guest for you here coming up in just a moment. A reminder that the Cubs are in Houston. They start a three-game series against the Astros. Pre-game coverage beginning at 6:35. First pitch at 7:10 on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network alongside Mark Grody. I'm Marshall Harris. This is Raheemi and Harris. Layla has the day off, and now we head out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That's where we find Jeff Blum. He is the Astros analyst for Space City Home Network, member of the 2005 World Series champion White Sox. Jeff, thanks for joining us here on Raheemi and Harris. Good to hear from you. How's the weather there? Not that it matters, because we know you're playing indoors.
I was going to say, yeah, it's a good thing we have a roof built on this place for decades now, because today it'd probably be in the triple digits with a little bit of humidity down here.
Always love a little humidity on the side, or on top, as we like to say, as a as an Alabama native. Jeff, it's so good to talk to you. It's interesting to watch what's happened with the Houston Astros. And this series seems to be a big series, but the Astros have been playing a lot of big series lately against some really, really good teams and faring quite well. What would you say has been going right for the Astros as they come into this series with identical 48-33 records as the Cubs?
I tell you what, it's been interesting because, you know, the first part of June, things were going really well when they were playing less than stellar competition, you know, teams that are under 500. But what's been really interesting to me, and the reason they've been winning so many games, is because the pitching has been amazing. Their starting rotation has been beat around as far as injuries are concerned. But we're watching guys like today, like Brandon Walter, step up. We've seen Colton Gordon pitch well. He just threw five shutouts against the Philadelphia Phillies, and then you get to the back end of the bullpen, and they've got four lefties out there that are shut down, including their closer, Josh Hader, and then Brian Abreu, who's been lights out. So if you can go through a series against the Phillies, who are also a number one team in the National League East, and score 4 to 5 runs and win a series, that tells you everything you need to know about the Astros. It's been all pitching all year.
Yeah, and we were just talking about some of that pitching, and I guess the Cubs are, I guess, air quotes, lucky that they're not seeing Hunter Brown in this series. And I always say that because I like to see the Cubs, which we all believe are a playoff team, go up against these ace pitchers. What has it been like to watch to Hunter Brown this year?
I tell you what, he has been Cy Young worthy this season, but it was kind of interesting to watch him at the beginning of, you know, maybe middle of May, beginning of June of last year, where he started to really kind of figure things out. And it started with him throwing a two-seam fastball that, you know, management and some of the coaches were like, you know, it doesn't have the best shape and it doesn't profile well with your mix. But at the same time, he needed something that was going to get to the inside on right-handed hitters. And that was the pitch that did it. It opened up the outside corner for him for his four-seam fastball, his curveball, a little bit of a cutter-slider mix. And he's been lights out ever since. But there's been a kind of a maturation or a growing process for Hunter where he's kind of created the ability and the mentality to go together and go out there. And he's a straight bulldog on the mound. He's a guy that you get highly entertained because the stuff is excellent. He throws over 50% fastballs in the upper 90s, averaging close to 97 on his fastball. He has the best fastball as far as average against this season. And he's just kind of primal and going after hitters. And it's a lot of fun to watch because if he gets angry, he takes it out on some of those hitters.
It's interesting because the city of Chicago and Houston connected with their baseball teams because of what happened in the offseason, the Cubs' pursuit of Alex Bregman, who eventually became a member of the Red Sox, and then the fact that the Cubs were able to get Kyle Tucker and also Ryan Pressly. I'm curious as to what type of reception you think those two players will have when they get back to Houston for this series starting tonight.
No, I can't wait. Those guys were very good on the field, obviously, all-stars, World Series champions, contending day in, day out. And then they were great people in the community, too. A bunch of charities that they were a part of here in Houston. I think Ryan Pressly actually still has one here in Houston where he and his wife, Kat, have really kind of ingrained themselves. But I think when they get back here, they're going to get a hero's welcome. I know it's a little frustrating in the sense that they were traded away, mm-hmm. but we all know that baseball's a business. And I think Houston fans have done a good job of understanding the process of going through these years and trying to maintain winning means you've got to with some big money type guys. And that's who Ryan Pressly and Kyle Tucker are. I can only imagine how long or how hard it was to make a montage video for each of those guys, considering the impact they had on this ball club in some big situations.
Man, that no doubt, and it has been a treat getting to watch Kyle Tucker. I always knew that Kyle Tucker.
He's great, isn't he?
He really is. What stands out to you about Kyle Tucker from his Houston days and obviously now with the Cubs?
You know, everything we heard about Kyle Tucker is untouchable, prospect of the future, and he more than lived up to it. But what I love about Kyle Tucker is he's got kind of that funky, unique swing that he's never really deviated from. He didn't give in to hitting coaches saying, do it this way. He kind of stuck to doing it his way, and he's made it work. And I love the fact that he kind of showed up on the scene here in Houston and maybe struggled a little bit early, but eventually made the adjustments and became a little more athletic in his stance and started to drive the ball. I loved watching him hit just because of that pure left-handed swing that is unlike anybody we see in the league right now. But the ability to generate power, hit the ball hard, and then spray the ball around the field is always fun to watch. And he's so dynamic in the sense that once he gets on base, he's not a station-to-station guy. He can steal you a bag. He can go first to third. He's going to score on it from first base on a ball in the gap. And then you also have the defensive aspect where he's a gold glover. So, you know, there's a lot to miss. Everybody talks about the offense, but you're also missing a guy that can run the bases and play gold glove defense.
When we look back at that trade, you know, obviously Jed Hoyer in the final year of his deal running baseball operations here in Chicago, people immediately, once they saw that Cam Smith made the opening day roster and was going to be the everyday right fielder, like, did we give up too much? How do you view that trade and the parts that the Houston Astros got back? And tell us what you've thought so far of Cam Smith.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of unfortunate. Hayden Wesneski's on the injured list. He pitched well a couple of times, but he's on the injured list with that, you know, the Tommy John surgery. But obviously, I think the linchpin in that entire deal is the guy you were talking about, Cam Smith, that first pick out of Florida State last season, which is crazy to think that that young man was playing in the College World Series last season, and now he's playing in the major leagues trying to figure it out and doing a very good job. So, you know, he's moved into the middle part of the order. A lot of questions in spring training were, how is he going to move from third base to right field? He's obviously, you know, a specimen at 6'4", 6'5", 220 pounds, runs like the wind, has a cannon. But moving to the outfield isn't always the easiest thing to do in the world, and he's done a very good job at it. He's adapted well. Coaches have instructed him on things to do, and he's listened. And I think that's probably the biggest thing is that he's got the talent. He's also got the coachability to go out there. But if you look at his outs above average and some of the metrics that they try and pin to defense, he's one of the best right fielders out there. So I give him a lot of credit for adjusting in a new organization and adjusting to a new position, because there's some thunder in that bat too.
That is the voice of Houston Astros broadcaster Jeff Blum here on The Score. It is the Rahimi and Harris Show. I am Mark Grody joining everybody here today. Boy, man, I mean, it's so nice. Like the Cubs are just starting to have the discovery of potentially having a closer in Daniel Palencia. Josh Hader, 21 of 21 this year so far. I mean, talk about a guy that has worked out over the last couple of years for that team. How nice is it to have that option at the end of the bullpen?
Oh, he's done a great job. And that's, you know, it was kind of it was an interesting time having a World Series closer in Ryan Pressly in our bullpen and then signing a guy like Josh Hader. Obviously, he was the best reliever on the market. They went out there, spent the money to get him, and they had every intention of making him that closer. And last year was a little bit of an opportunity for him to feel out the organization, figure out his role here in Houston, and get used to the community. But now, with Ryan Pressly moving on and the role being a little more defined and everybody saying, this is your job, he has really run with it. He's acclimated well, and he's actually made a couple of adjustments to his delivery, too, because he had a little bit higher arm angle last season, and I think it created a little bit different shape that he wasn't comfortable with his fastball and slider, but now he's dropped down a little bit. He's getting a little more east-to-west movement on that slider and some good arm side run on the sinker, but he's aggressive. He's our guy at the back end of the bullpen, and he's been fantastic for 21 straight saves.
56 strikeouts and 36 in the third innings, a 1.73 ERA. He has been phenomenal. Speaking of phenomenal, Jeff, you know what's coming up later this summer. You were a member of that 2005 World Series Championship White Sox team, July 11th through 13th. They're celebrating the 30th anniversary. I understand you'll be in town for that. How excited are you about getting the gang back together and celebrating what that season meant to you?
Yeah, it's kind of serendipitous that I'm going to be up there because I have a daughter who's interning in Chicago, and we had plans of coming up there to visit her on that weekend anyways, but it coincides with this reunion. And you damn well better believe that I am extremely excited to see some of the guys coming back and revisiting that that event that we had 20 years ago. The team was great. The guys were even better. And the accomplishment that we achieved together is what we love celebrating. And it conjures up so many good memories, both on and off the field, if you know what I mean. But it's going to be a really good time. And getting back into Chicago anytime for me, especially after that championship in 05, has been an absolute blessing and joy.
I mean, really, when I think about you, Jeff, it what a blessing it is for you because, you know, you swooped into that team at the trade deadline,
oh, yeah,
and then you hit one of the biggest home runs in White Sox history in the 14th inning of Game 3 at Minute Maid Park. I just happened to have been there with the rest of the Chicago media that night, so it's worth bringing that up to you every time that you are on. What I mean, you pulled off something beautiful. You ever think about that? How you just kind of swooped in and we're the hero.
Yeah, because I guarantee you a lot of people in Chicago, including everybody in the organization, were probably wondering why I was there up until that point. But you know, I get traded over and they're 15 games up, and we just kind of we had to work for it a little bit with the Twins and the Indians at the time, battling in the Central. But you know, once we got to the postseason, I think everybody understood what their job was, and I was just waiting for my moment, and I couldn't be more fortunate to actually have that moment and capitalize on it.
Jeff, really quick, we got to let you go, but now you're sparking another question because I don't even remember, honestly. Did you struggle with the White Sox in the brief time up until the post? Honestly, that's how like symbolic this is. I don't even remember. Was that the case, Jeff?
Well, I appreciate your short-term selective memory on that, because if you actually go back and look at the documented history of my time with the White Sox, I think I ended up, 19 for 99 during the regular season.
Okay. That is the exact right answer, yes.
That's amazing,
yeah,
man.
See? Somehow it stuck in my mind a little bit, but you know, I was coming in playing first base for Konerko late in games. You know, I was a defensive replacement,
yeah,
for Creedy when his back was hurting him, so it was kind of like, I understood after that home was there. I wasn't there for that regular season. That team was too good. They were going to win the Central with or without me, but I like to think that that home run helped them win a World Series.
No, it did. In the 14th inning, you got to make things happen. Whether it's early, late, you made an impact, and that's what's important. Jeff, we appreciate you stopping by. Have fun in the series. Hopefully it's not a sweep. Hopefully it's not a sweep. Either way.
Yeah.
That way you can have some joy.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, I appreciate it. Good being on with you guys. Thank you.
Yep. All right, so that's Jeff Blum, Astros analyst for Space City Home Network and a member of the 2005 World Series White Sox champion, kind of reliving the glory days, or just the glory moment, as Grody so adequately pointed out just there.
I hate that we have to go back to that. It's like what happens to Dan Wiederer and I when we do the Take the North podcast. We find ourselves reminiscing way too much about the year 2018 because that was the last time it was a good time for the Bears, and you could say the same thing about the White Sox, unless you loved, 2008.
Good times ahead for the Cubs, including perhaps some representation in the All-Star game. Everybody gets one, but how many will the Cubs get? Well, we know who is in line to possibly start for the NL All-Stars. We'll discuss what's going on with phase one over, phase two not yet begun. That's when Raheemian Harris with Mark Grody in for Layla continues on 670.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original slab pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think we have a bunch of guys who have been having really great seasons and deserve some recognition in that game. You know, Michael Bush has had a fantastic year, and then some of our starting pitchers as well just have been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it'd be nice to see a big representation of Cubs in the All-Star game. It'd be really fun for those guys.
That is Ian Happ talking about possibly getting some stuff done as far as the All-Star game is concerned. As you know, or maybe you don't know, Phase 1 of All-Star voting concluded yesterday. They announced the finalists. Let me tell you how this works. The player with the most votes in each league, American League, National League, they are All-Star starters. So that's two starting spots, one in each league, accounted for. For the rest of the positions, you get two finalists at every position except for outfield. Outfield, there are six finalists for three positions. Got that?
Got it.
All right, so here on Rahimi and Harris featuring Mark Grody, who's in for Layla, we're going to talk a little bit about how this process works so everyone understands what is going on. Because the headline for me so far has been the fact that, as of now, the possibility exists that the Dodgers could get 8 of the 9 starters for the National League All-Stars. And I don't think anybody outside of LA fans wants to see that. Would that be an accurate statement in your opinion?
Well, Mark, I mean, I get it. Like, I don't want to see Dodger blue at every position, but we kind of do want to see those players, right? Like, the Dodgers are pretty cool, and they've got some awesome, historic, future Hall of Fame players. So, like, I get it. I'm kind of going both ways on that, but the Dodgers are an all-star team, man. They are an all-star team.
So the Dodgers are an all-star team. Here's the thing. There's a direct conflict between the Dodgers and the Cubs, because when you talk about the finalists, let me tell you how this thing lined up. Specifically at the catcher position, Will Smith got 3.4 million votes. He was finalist number one. He got the most votes of all the National League catchers. Number two is Carson Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
He only got 1.2 million votes, if we're rounding up. But if Carson Kelly gets more votes than Will Smith when phase two begins on Monday, it's basically a three-day period.
Still got a chance.
He would be the all-star starter at catcher.
That's wild. That's wild. What a thought about 10 years from now, Carson Kelly being an all-star for the Cubs.
And so when we go down the list, first base, Los Angeles Dodgers, Freddie Freeman. Pete Alonso of the Mets. Those are your two finalists at first base. Second base, Ketel Marte, Tommy Edman. Marte of the Diamondbacks. Edman from guess who? The Dodgers. Third base, Manny Machado. Max Muncy from guess who? The Dodgers. Shortstop, Francisco Lindor of the Mets. Mookie Betts of the Dodgers. Outfield. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Outfield, There's six guys. There's three spots. Number one vote getter in the outfield was Pete Crow Armstrong with 3 million votes.
PCA.
Number two was Teoscar Hernandez with 2.3 million votes. Number three was Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves, 1.9 million votes. Number four was Kyle Tucker of the Cubs with 1.8 million votes. So Andy Páez of the Dodgers was number five with 1.8 million votes.
There's
and Juan Soto of the Mets, 1.5 million. Here's why this is interesting. Those votes reset now. We'll start it back up on Monday. But if the voting is in that order, guess who's not an all-star starter in the National League when the voting is finished? Kyle Tucker. You're waiting on him to be named a reserve. Just because you're not a star doesn't mean you make the team. But the guaranteed way to get in by the fan vote is to get both Pete Crow Armstrong and Kyle Tucker in the top three in voting. If you're a Cubs fan and you want to see your guys represented. Also, if you want to say, Kyle Tucker, live in Chicago. This is where you can be an all-star starter for the rest of your life because that's what we do. We vote people in as all-star starters.
The pressure's on Cubs fans here right now. And you've been putting that pressure on. You're like the get-out-the-vote guy.
Well, okay. Because you can't do anything on the back end, but you could definitely do something on the front end. As we talk about all-star voting and the end of phase one, setting you up for phase two here on Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody in for Layla. I'm just trying to help people understand because people don't vote, Mark, and then they complain about the way things are.
You're right.
This is a story as old as...
This is a preemptive announcement. Marshall Harris is warning you right now so we don't have to have the conversation. He is trying to eliminate a future conversation in a good way.
Yeah.
So get out there and vote. So, am I representing you well at this point?
I think so. Okay. And I just want to explain to people, phase two voting, that's available exclusively online and via mobile devices at MLB.com/vote. All the 30 of the club websites, the MLB app, the MLB ballpark app. Fans will get a chance to vote starting on Monday and then ending Wednesday, July 2nd. That's this coming Wednesday at 11 a.m. And then they'll announce the starters later that night. You can only vote once, though, this phase. Last time you could vote five times, five different ballots. The votes do not carry over from phase one. That is over and done with. We know the finalists now. Get your guys on if you want to get your guys on. Kelly, Crow Armstrong,
you got a chance.
And Tucker.
You got a real chance.
Nico Horner did finish third place at second base, but it was a distant third place. So we'll see what happens. But I wanted to make sure people understood that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, did you want me to tell you about the White Sox voting?
Would you like to share?
Did you want to? If you want to know, I can tell you what's going on with the White Sox. If you would like to know.
Now I do. I got to be honest with you. 10 seconds ago, I did not want to know. But now I do.
But now you want to know?
Yeah, because you brought it up.
Southside, stand up!
That's right.
Mike Tauchman was the only player to finish in the top 10.
That's your guy.
For the White Sox. He started third place. I was like, maybe they can make a push for Mike Tauchman. What happened was Rafael Devers got traded from the American League to the National League, and so his position of DH became wide open, and then he fell down to like 7th, 8th place.
I love it. Good text here from 847. The 2016 infield was all Cubs. As a Sox fan, I didn't bitch. That is true. You had Rizzo, Zobrist, Addison Russell, right? There wasn't Starlin Castro, Addison Russell, Chris Bryant. I don't believe catcher, though. Neither Miguel Montero nor David Ross was an all-star that year. I don't think.
Wait, Javi?
Did I? Yeah, I guess it would have been Baez. Yeah. Addy's gone.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, do you want an all-Dodgers, like, lineup is really the question. It is a popularity contest. It is still a game for the fans.
Absolutely.
So yeah,
so you've got your chance to, and I do like the way you're talking about Kyle Tucker. Like, that would be a real, like, if Kyle Tucker cares.
How unfortunate it would be, though, if Pete Crow Armstrong is a starter and Kyle Tucker's not.
Yeah.
That'd be unfortunate.
Right. If that means a lot to you.
And because
and
of the way
it does
it
mean
goes,
a lot to a lot of fans.
Everybody gets an outfielder. There's no guarantee that Kyle Tucker's going to get in. Just like there's no guarantee Seiya Suzuki, who I think deserves consideration, is going to be a DH.
Quickly, I will just say, looking at the list of 2016 NL All-Star Game starters for the Cubs, Anthony Rizzo at first base, second base, Ben Zobrist, third base, Chris Bryant. Shortstop was Addison Russell,
it
and outfield was Dexter Fowler.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
I led you astray.
Well, it's okay. You made me think. You did.
It's good.
Yeah.
We will leave you with that.
That's what we do,
up next, we're going to switch gears and talk about football. I know it's not football season. I know training camp doesn't begin until later on in July. But Mark Grody, half of the Take the North podcast, is here, and he had a very special guest on that can give us some insight into what's going on with Ben Johnson's offense and what you might be able to expect from a former Bear. Because Allen Robinson joined the podcast. We will get a little chirp from Allen Robinson, a little explanation from Mark Grody. That's when we come back with more Raheemi and Harris, Mark Grody, and for Layla here on 670 The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.